Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus, because there is no shadow of turning with you. As you were, so are you, so shall you forever be. And Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus, because you transform us every day into even your own likeness, that as you are, so we shall be. And as you are, so are we. We thank you, Father, because that is becoming a reality in our lives, in our daily lives, and in our moving forth and going forth. We thank you, Father, because every day your Spirit transforms us into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we shall be even as he is. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, even as the world was getting excited about, is getting excited about the elections in America, which really are not such an important thing, because what happens there is of importance to Americans, not to us. So it's actually not such a big deal. Because America's leadership of the world has more or less come to an end. So whereas there was a time when everything that happens to America, when they sneeze, the world catches a cold, that is no longer true today. Amen. So actually what's happening there is of importance so much to them and less so to us. Now, but you see, they have a choice. They have a choice to go with what the establishment wants and what the status quo is and what people want them to believe. And they have a choice to either believe the mainstream or to go with something different. And I don't think I've seen anything quite like what's happening in America, where almost or every form of, every kind of establishment has ganged itself against one man. I've never seen anything like that. Now, I worked for a government newspaper during elections, and I know that they gave certain favorable coverage to certain candidates, but still they were obliged by the common laws of journalism to give coverage to the other candidate, even if it was clear through so many ways that they were favoring another candidate. You understand what I'm saying? But what's happening in America is basically all laws and all ethics thrown out of the window. Whoever is in charge, and but you see, journalists have to adhere to the editorial guidelines of the newspapers that they write for, and those newspapers have guidelines, and you know it. For instance, if you work for New Vision, you know there are certain things you will not write, whether you want to or not. You understand? That's if you still want to work there. You have the option of going and finding a job elsewhere. And it's known. You just know. You just know this will not pass. This will pass. So that's how it is. Now, then they're almost boundaries, but they are not written. And nobody says don't write this. But somehow when you get there, you know that I can't exceed this, you know? And it's just something that runs in your conscious mind. and more or less governs everything you do now. But what we are seeing right now in America is incredible. I've never seen anything like this. I am a very, you know, but there are certain media houses that I decided I'm not going to watch until after the elections are over. Because I was seeing something interesting where a very old woman comes and says Trump molested her. And Trump turns out and says, you look at her, she's even too ugly to be molested. And okay, it's just comedy. I've not seen anything like that. He said, okay, maybe I might have, if she was beautiful, maybe I might have been tempted. But really? So, and I have not seen, but they have a choice. Eh? And of course, they can go down the road of what has been happening, the status quo, Hillary Clinton, what. And they will go down, and after 4 years, possibly 8 of Hillary Clinton, there will be no difference between America and Europe, which really is what the New World Order is planning. You understand? But they can choose a man who is not perfect, obviously, and who has so many flaws and perhaps so many things not to like about him, but who actually, quite a number of men of God whom I respect, including Prophet Rick Joyner, have said that he's God's man. You understand? So now, if you know what you know, if you know the scriptures, the God has called people, his men who were not even, you know, who didn't even know him. The idea of him calling them his men is that I'm choosing him for a purpose, to go and fulfill a certain purpose. Because at some stage, he was telling the children of Israel that I'm sending my servant Nebuchadnezzar. But Nebuchadnezzar was, but because they had rebelled against God and Nebuchadnezzar was going to be God's instrument of judgment. Okay. Now later he called Cyrus his servant because Cyrus was the one who was going to set free the Israelites. But all these were Persian kings and really didn't care so much about Jehovah. So they don't have to be perfect people, you understand? No, but I'm not, but I'm just saying that's of interest to them. Eh? Now let me tell you what's of interest, more of interest to us. Now while the whole world was getting so excited, is getting so excited about what's happening in America, something else is happening, and it's of a lot more significance to what is going to happen in this world, and that is, it's happening in Syria. Amen? It's actually of significance to the world, and it's of significance to Bible prophecy, which is the reason why I'm bringing it here. And it's happening in the nation of Syria. Now, Vladimir Putin, who is the president of Russia, called journalists in a press conference. Now, this was unlike anything because he sat them on a round table as if it is, as if they were equals, you understand? Not a press conference would be something more like this. You're the media and let's say Putin is here and he's speaking to the media and you have cameras and all that. Now, it's different when you sit as if you're in a conference room and there are selected media houses and he tells them, go and tell your people that the world is moving dangerously close to a scenario which you might not be able to come out of, and it is going to lead to a world war. And he tells them that you've been told lies, and because there are certain things you don't report, and I keep on telling you these things. Now, this is him telling the journalist. I keep on telling you these things, but for some reason, you failed to report them. Now, go and say this. So he goes and accuses America of aggression and says that the path down which they are going right now, they might have gone past the stage where they can resolve their conflicts in any other way apart from full-blown war. Now, we know that the Bible says there are two prophecies here we are looking at. The first one, actually, is in Isaiah chapter 17, which talks about the total destruction of Damascus. Now, that prophecy has yet to be fulfilled. And it says it's one of actually very few prophecies that has yet to be fulfilled. Now, Damascus is perhaps the oldest city known that is in the place that it has always been. You understand? Abraham was in Damascus. And it was there at the time. It's the same place. Now, there are cities which keep on changing. You understand? So, it was once here, then it's there, but it carries the same name. Now, Damascus has been there in Damascus for all those years from the days of Abraham. No other city. Other cities like Rome are called that, but of course Rome is perhaps, 2,500, 2,600 years old. Now, that is a lot older than, Damascus is a lot older than that. Even Jerusalem, which also is perhaps would qualify to be called the Eternal City because it has been there for a long time. But Jerusalem was more or less the city of David. Now, David lived so many years after Abraham. Now, Damascus was there. Now, the burden against Damascus here, that it is going to cease to be a city, now it has never happened in history, and it is pending. It's a pending Bible prophecy. Now, when I saw that all the forces of the world had gathered around Syria some years back, I thought that finally now we are going to see this prophecy coming to pass. But somehow the battle seems to have moved elsewhere. Now, and I thought, okay, Damascus is surviving us. Because it's clear that we'll cease from being a city and it will be a ruinous heap. Go ahead. The cities of Arrow are forsaken. They will be for flocks which lie down and no one will make them afraid. Now, this is exactly what the Bible says about Babylon. And I read for you this scripture before, which was a great city. And it said it shall be destroyed and it shall never be rebuilt again. And it said it shall be a place for animals, which has happened. And it's incredible that a city that was once great is destroyed and nobody even touches it thereafter. Again, it just remains there. And that's what the Bible says. Actually, in Isaiah still, and says it shall not be touched, it shall never be rebuilt, it shall remain a ruinous heap, it shall remain a place for ostriches and jackals and birds and all those things. Now, it says the same about Damascus, only it has not happened. I told you here before that actually Saddam Hussein had collected $1 billion and wanted to rebuild Babylon. And actually he was signing off letters, not with his name Saddam, but with the name Nebuchadnezzar. And he was determined to rebuild Babylon, which actually was within his territory of Iraq, and he was determined to make it its lost glory. But just when he would have started, the Americans came for him, and he ended up in a cave with beards. And you know the story. And they were checking him for lice and what, and opening his mouth and... very humiliating stuff for a man who was Nebuchadnezzar to end up in a dungeon. And you see, those people do that on purpose. So they take you and their cameras showing you how they are checking your hair for lice. And do you know what that does to people who fought for you? That your hero is there, they are checking him for lice. Okay, and it totally demoralizes everybody. But of course, now let's stick to scripture. Now, So I thought it was going to happen, but somehow it delayed. That was 2011. It has been on for a number of years. But 2012, actually. But now so many things have happened recently. One of them is now over the city of Aleppo. What Putin was warning about is this. Because he also basically issued a no-fly zone over Syria, issued by Putin. Now that's incredible. Because he said, the Americans are talking of putting a no-fly zone, meaning that you can't fly your plane over there. Now, for them, they were talking about it. Actually, one of their commanders was appearing before the Senate, and the senator told him that, why don't we put a no-fly zone? He said, you are not going to put a no-fly zone unless you're ready to go full scale with the war with Russia. That's what it's going to take. Now, Russia went the extra mile and actually said, any plane that flies over this territory of Syria without permission from the Syrian government of Bashar al-Assad, who America refuses to recognize and who wants out of the way, or without us, Russia, is going to be shot down. Basically, what he's saying, let the Americans come and fly their planes over here and we are going to shoot them down. And if we shoot them down, they will have to retaliate. Then officially World War III has started. Now, the NATO forces are gathering outside of, in the former Soviet republics, you know, close to the Russian border now. But what has made all this escalation suddenly a lot more newsworthy is now even China has decided that it's not going to be left behind. Now, what China has done is it has moved into Syria as well, and is now that providing humanitarian aid. You know what that means. It's the usual Western propaganda means of, you know. But now being employed by Chinese, because the Americans and the Chinese are fighting over what's called the South China Sea. which is a piece of territory which is very crucial for movement of ships, but which is being claimed by China. And actually, a lot of it is being reclaimed because what Chinese are doing, they are getting areas of the sea which are a bit shallow and filling up with ground and reclaiming them and making them land and then putting air bases and military bases there. Now, the Americans are disputing that, and so a great dispute has formed over there. Now, the Americans are trying to run their ships through there, basically to challenge China that these are international waters. But that area is being disputed by almost six countries, including Philippines, including Malaysia. So there is a big... Now, all this is more important than the American elections. Because it could actually... Now, when Putin calls journalists and tell them that we are, the speed at which we are going will soon cross the line. And once we cross the line, there will only be one solution, war. We can no longer come back to diplomacy. So he says, go and tell your governments that diplomacy is going to be an option for the next few days. If they continue the way they are, it will cease to be an option. And if you've heard Vladimir Putin speaking, you know that you know the tone with which he speaks. He doesn't speak like somebody who is bluffing. You know he means what he says. Now the Chinese have come in, of course, on the side of Russia, and so they come in. There's a clip here which perhaps you should form. You'll turn off that light for when we are showing the clip because you. But there's a clip there which I want you to see, which news articles which I gather, just to show you a bit of what's happening. Then we move on to the next bit. So anyhow, so now if China enters and Russia is in and NATO, all the NATO forces are in, okay, yeah, that's it. Is there a volume? Does it have volume?
New military agreement allowing Russian jets to use an Iranian airbase for anti-ISIL missions in... Russia and Iran sign a new military agreement allowing Russian jets to use an Iranian airbase for anti-ISIL missions in Syria.
In an unprecedented move, Russia has begun using an airbase in Iran to conduct bombing missions over Syria. The Russian Defense Ministry says its long-range bombers have carried out airstrikes against Daesh from the west of Iran at the Hamadan airbase. It's thought to be the first time Russian military aircraft have been deployed from Iranian soil in half a century.
Russia's defense ministry said that Moscow has deployed Russian bombers to an Iranian airbase to widen its campaign in Syria. But these bombers have already targeted militant targets in Syria. Well, Russia's defense ministry says that those are Tupolev 22 M3 long-range bombers and Suhoi 34 fighter bombers, and they were launched from a Hamadan airbase in Iran. Well, according to reports, it's cheaper and quicker to fly them from Hamadan. This could reduce flying time by 60% and also could allow to increase the load on the plane. Before this, Russia was flying these bombers from its base in North Ossetia because its base in Latakia in Syria is not big enough for them. But flying time, the distance to Palmyra from North Ossetia is around 2,000 kilometers, whereas this distance to Palmyra from Hamadan is around 900 kilometers. But certainly, Russia and Iran share similar goals in Syria, and they are allies in the region. And both Russia and Iran are part of the same coalition fighting Daesh in Syria.
International news now, where it seems there's increasing cooperation over Syria. It follows Iran allowing Russia to use an airbase, and now China saying it will offer military help to the Syrian government.
Learning that China is seeking closer military ties with Syria, a senior Chinese military official just visited Damascus, where he met with the Syrian defense minister. According to the agency, the Chinese and Syrian officials also talked about the possibility for China to provide military training and humanitarian aid to Syria. This talk about the possibility of China providing military training to Syrian government forces marks a change in China's more detached approach to the war in Syria. China had previously praised Russia's role there, but it may now provide more specific support to the fight against terrorists. The Chinese news agency also reported that while in Damascus, the Chinese military official also met with a Russian general. So you have a potential alliance forming, not only with China, but also with Iran.
China and Russia are permanent members of what's called the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. Iran wants to become a member. There's about 17 countries in all that either are permanent members, partners, which also include Turkey, Iran, India, Pakistan, and all the countries in Central Asia. It is a large organization. What's intriguing is that Russia is pivoting more toward the east.
Okay, now that gives you a picture. Here is what's happening. So if there's this organization of the Shanghai Cooperation, which that man is talking about, 17 countries, which includes almost all of Asia, which includes countries which are both ways. Now, the reason I've told you before Obama wanted to sign a deal quickly with Iran is because he knew Iran would go the side of Russia if he doesn't secure them. Now, Iran actually signed with America and released billions of dollars for themselves, but then they went still to Russia. Now, it's like a stab in the back, because what actually Iran did is they have given Russia permission to come and launch their airstrikes from Iranian soil. Now, that reduces the distance that the Russian planes had to move from Russia before to go into Syria and fight. Now, that means that now Russia seems to have control over much of the territory in Syria. Now, and they are totally against what they are, because they are there, the Chinese are there, the Russians are there, the Iranians are there to protect Assad, okay? The Americans are there to try and remove Assad because they don't want him there for their own reasons. And of course, what have they been doing to remove Assad? They have been arming supposedly moderate rebels who actually are ISIS. And it was proven even in America that 70% of the weapons which are used by ISIS come from America, okay? Now, they just deceive the world, you understand? And the world is run on deceit. You just know that the world is run on deceit, speeches, a lot of lies and what. But people do things for reasons, okay? And there are certain reasons. Now, there are things which I know that immediately you can tell there's something not right. For instance, ISIS, in all their fighting and killing people, don't seem to have anything against the state of Israel. And you wonder why. Have you ever had Arabs fighting and their target is not Israel? So then you start wondering, what's the deal? What's the deal? So so you look deeper into it, and then you realize that they actually, some people who are actually fighting Israel are being hit by ISIS. Then you say, now I thought. So then you start realizing that there is a deal there, and also with America, because they say we are arming moderate rebels. But the arms are going into the hands of ISIS. And then in the America, we are fighting ISIS, but they are not. They are not. Now, actually, I was watching the U.S. presidential debate, and Donald Trump said that we first will fight ISIS. We will not do like these people who are actually. He said the only people who are fighting ISIS are Russians, which is the truth, which is not very popular stuff to say in America, especially when you want to be elected as a president. But it's the truth. Now, so they keep. But why do they put them there? It's because there are certain things. I told you before, I spoke this actually on radio, because there was the oil pipeline, which was supposed to be the biggest to transfer natural gas from one of those small kingdoms, which is the richest in natural gas, through Syria to the west, to the Mediterranean Sea, from where it would move to the west. Now, the only way that pipe can work is if it goes through the territory of Syria. Now, if Syria does not allow it to go through its territory, then the alternative would be to freeze that gas and take it through the Mediterranean, the Red Sea, and through the Suez Canal to the Mediterranean Sea. Now, here you have to know geography, like some of you don't. Okay. Now, so and that's a lot more expensive. So they told Assad that we are going to do this. We are going to take this pipe through here and take natural gas there. And what was the purpose of all that? The purpose of that was to weaken Russia. Because Russia, 68% of their exports are all petroleum-based oil and natural gas, and mostly to the European Union. Now, if they provided the European Union with alternative ways of cooking and heating from another place which is not Russia, then they would weaken Russia's economy and then weaken them, of course, militarily. You see the deal. Now, Assad said, no, you are not passing it through my territory. Why? Because he and Putin have always been allies. So he knew they were doing that actually to purposely weaken Russia. So he said, no. Actually, I think he got a phone call from Putin and he said, these guys are trying to bring me down because if Europe can get its gas from somewhere else, then I'm done because that's where I get most of my money. So Assad said no. Then when Assad said no, they poured in billions of dollars to come. Now, there was a rich guy in America who was bragging about how he's the one who got the deal to go and cause this caveat. And you see, they do those things. So they come and mess up the whole country to remove Assad, put another regime, which is a puppet to the West, and then they can do their pipeline. So at the first, Russia was underhand helping Assad. But then when it became clear that they were actually going to take off Assad, then Russia said, no, this man actually is in problems because he was protecting us. So now, all-out war. So Russia rolls in with its planes and what? Then America is forced to roll out because they don't want to get into war with Russia. And they know Putin can actually do that. So he meets them at the UN General Assembly last year. He met with Obama and he told him that now we are on a dangerous path. You are not going to do what you are going to do and what? Of course, they say, the media says something else, eh? But they are talking about something else. How do I know? Hey. Prophet Joseph Kableta. Eh? Okay. Now, by which is true, by the way. Some of you might, you're not used to, you don't know that, but it's true. Eh? Amen. Now, was Daniel a prophet? Was he?
Yes.
Hey, that's the same anointing. Now, so Jesus called him a prophet. Eh? So he was a prophet. Jesus is the only one who called him a prophet, actually, according to the prophet Daniel in Matthew 24. Okay. So, what was I saying? I was saying, so the pipeline deal fails. But these people still have the plan to make it work. How? Removing Assad. Then Russia says you're not removing Assad. Then now China says you're not removing Assad. They are giving military aid. Now suddenly it's a war that America cannot fight because they cannot go to war with Russia and America. Now, I also saw a report which I'm not so sure is terribly true or at least is a bit of speculation, but I know it is in the realms of believability because the Bible says something like that, and it is talking about how Germany is considering leaving NATO. Now, NATO is an alliance of Western countries. I told you this before, which are protected by America militarily. And they hung together. They were formed to protect themselves against the Soviet Union, which also had its own countries during the Cold War. Now, when Russia was confused in the 90s, early 90s, and actually their constitution was being written in America, when communism had just fallen, they actually failed so badly. Now then Boris Yeltsin and then what? They agreed with the Americans that they are removing the Berlin Wall, dismantling communism and all that, but on condition that NATO does not expand eastwards, okay? Because the reason NATO was formed in the first place was because the communists were expanding westwards. Because they had Poland, they had Romania, they had the Czechoslovakia now, Czech Republic, they had, all those, Latvia and all that in the East, eh? Geography, okay? Now some of you are lost, okay? But let me help you. I have a map here, actually, to help you. Now, you see, the countries, turn the light away, thank you. Now, the countries which are in the light blue countries, okay? These ones were the ones which started NATO. The light blue ones. Now, the darker blue ones, these ones joined later, you see, from 1950 to 2000. Now, after, when Russia now had become strong in 2000 under Putin, then they started annexing more countries into NATO. Now, in so doing, coming too close to Russia, and the agreement was that you stay there in Europe, leave these middle countries, don't come near us, okay? So you see now there are Albania, Bulgaria, Romania. Now these were, all these were communist countries, Lithuania, Latvia, Estonia. Now, I think even Belarus now has been taken. Now the latest one was Ukraine. You know what happened in Ukraine recently? In Ukraine, they elected a government which was pro-Russia. There were two candidates. One was pro-Russia, another one was pro-Europe. Okay? And they all stood, and the one who was pro-Russia won. Now, the Americans could not afford that, so they gave, and that man, George Soros, a rich American guy, said he had a deal of $5 billion to go and destabilize what? Ukraine. So they went and caused an uprising, and you know what money can do, eh? So they went and caused an uprising in Kiev, and they overthrew the government, which was pro-Russia. And they installed a government, which is pro-West. Now, what Russia did is they said, now these Americans, no, after Ukraine, what's next? They are to your next door, you know? They are next is Russia. They have taken Belarus. Now they are coming to Ukraine. Previously, George Bush, America's fought a proxy war in Georgia. You see, eh? You know those proxy wars where you start a war, but basically where you're fighting with Russia, but not directly. But Putin crushed it very quickly and summarily. He just wiped it out and did what Putin does very well. Now they came to Ukraine, and so now Ukraine is in caveat because the eastern part of Ukraine all support being pro-Russia. The western part all support the other side. So they actually split in two. But then Crimea, you know what happened in Crimea? These ones voted to go back to Russia, even if they are part of Ukraine. You see, eh? So now Crimea is officially part of Russia. Now, this is geopolitics. This is what is going on. This is going to be the source of the Third World War, if my projections are right. But we know there is going to be a war of the like. Now, here is what I found interesting about what the Bible says about that war. Let's go to Revelation chapter 9. Verse 13. Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and the day and the month and the year were released to kill a third of mankind. Now the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million, and I had the number of them. Now, why is this important? Because until Russia joins, until China joins this, there is no way you're going to get an army of 200 million people. So the only place you're going to get 200 million people is China, in an army. You understand? So now when China comes and joins, then suddenly it starts making sense. You understand? And he says, I saw 200 million people. The old King James says 200,000. Okay? And thus, now here is why I found it important. Because China and Russia, now in an alliance in Syria, remember it says the river Euphrates. And the river Euphrates starts from Turkey, flows a big deal through Syria, and through Iraq, and ends at the tip of the border between Iraq and Iran. You understand? So those four countries, Syria, Turkey, and especially Iraq. Iran a bit less, because it just touches the tip here. So now that's where the four angels are, which are going to cause the war, which is going to kill a third of mankind. A third of mankind means like 2.3 billion people dead. Okay? Now, he says the army is going to be 200 million people. Now, as I've told you, the only place you are going to get an army of 200 million is China, if China has any sort of involvement. Okay, now let's go ahead. And he says, verse 17, and thus I saw the horses in the vision. Those who sat on them had breastplates. of fiery red. You know fiery red? You know thick red? Okay. And hyacinth blue? And sulfur yellow. And the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions. And out of their mouth came fire, smoke, and brimstone. Now, it's important to understand one thing here, that when you're reading this, put yourself in the position of John, seeing what is happening 2,000 years ago. What would he have seen? Now, that's what helps you understand what he's talking about. What would he have seen? What did God show him? Because God shows him something, and it is up to John to interpret it in, you understand? He tells you what he saw in his own language. Now, God has to show it to him in a way that is eternal, so that the people who live in that time will understand what John was speaking about, okay? So he'll use colors, he'll use animals, he'll use metals and symbols, things which do not change over a period of time, okay? He will not use countries. Now, I looked around and I looked at the flag of, first of all, of Russia. You first put up the Russian flag. It says fiery red and hyacinth blue, and sulfur yellow. I'll read verse 17 again. And thus I saw the horses in the vision. Those who sat on them had breastplates of fiery red. Like if you were, let's say, Uganda Cranes were going to play. They would either put on yellow, red, black. They had never put, okay, sometimes they do. But you see, those are the national colors. So that show that this is Uganda. So it says, breastplates of fiery red, hyacinth blue, and sulfur yellow. Now that sounds okay. But that's just me thinking. You don't have to follow what I say, but it made sense to me. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, I'm trying to see what was John seeing 2,000 years ago, because he describes it the way you're seeing. And I've tried to show you that Bible prophecy cannot be interpreted using the language that we currently have, which was not there at the time. He could only describe things based on what he knew at the time. And I told you before that I looked at the apache when you're talking about the trumpets and talking about what could have been the Gulf War. And I looked at those helicopters and the way they fly. And I got a picture of a locust. And they actually look exactly the same. And John says he saw locusts flying and with eyes like for a man. And when I looked at the plane, I said, because what was John supposed to say? He saw an Apache helicopter? Of course not. But what does he know? He knows a locust. So he says, hey, those things look like locusts. Now, he can only describe it in the language that was available to him at the time. You understand? Okay. So, now, if this is the case, and if we can take Putin seriously, that we are crossing a line, so while the world is forming at its mouth over an American election, that is bears very little significance. The world is actually teetering on the brink of a very big war, which the question is not if it is going to happen. The question is when is it going to happen? Because the Bible says it is going to happen. So it is going to happen. And it is going to kill 2.3 billion people. Now, just know the First World War killed 8.2 million people. The Second World War killed 52 million people. Now, this one will kill 2.3 billion people. Now, that is something. The question for me is, when does this happen? Does it happen before the 7 years? Is it the trigger of the 7-year treaty? Does it happen in the middle of the... Now, there's another scripture which I want us to look at, which is a bit different, because just for explanation's case, because somewhere else it talks about the Euphrates, demon spirits coming out, and Revelation 16. Yeah, it's Revelation 16, verse 12. And it talks about, then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up, so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits, like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. Okay? That means the whole world system. Because the beast represents the political system. The dragon represents, of course, the devil, you know. And then the false prophet represents the one world religion. So we are dealing with the one world government, the one world religion. So the whole world system, they come together. And now they are coming to the battle of Armageddon. But that one we know is towards the end of the 7 years. For they are spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of the Almighty. That is to the day of Armageddon, for the battle of Armageddon. Verse 16 says, and they gathered them together to the place called in Hebrew, the battle of Megiddo, or Armageddon. So, it's River Euphrates still. And now there are three spirits, okay? Now, in the scripture we've been reading, it talks about how many? Four, You forgotten to read? Four spirits, Okay. So four spirits there and now three spirits here. Now these are two different things I just want to point out, because now these vials definitely happen when the church has been raptured. Okay? The vials of the Battle of Megiddo, they are definitely the church has been raptured. There is no way we are here for the Battle of Armageddon. Now, this other war, the 2.3 billion people, I have always suspected this is, of course, subject to further study, because, you know, in this thing, you keep on updating your knowledge, updating your info and updating your knowledge. And some of the things which I taught at the beginning, I have since realized are not exactly true, or at least were 70% true, so you keep on upgrading, you understand? Now, that's how Bible prophecy is. You upgrade on the basis of knowledge to yourself, what the Lord reveals to you, and also what's happening in the contemporary world. Now, what I thought before is the war starts after that death. All those deaths. Because every time there was a war, there was an agreement. There was previously, when there was the First World War, the nations came together to form what was called the League of Nations. How are we going to stop something similar from happening again? So people sit down and say, no, this cannot happen again. So in 1919, the League of Nations, after the First World War. Now, after the Second World War, in 1945, United Nations, saying, how are we going to stop this? How do nations get together and work together? Now, there's going to be a bigger agreement, which is going to be the springboard for the Antichrist to come and take complete political power. And now, the Third World War be the basis on which it came, like all the previous ones? All of which, by the way, were just precursors of actually the One World Government. League of Nations, United Nations, now the real One World Government. So does it take a war this big and people come together and say, now we have to sit down and make sure this doesn't happen? Of course, it comes as a way of peace. Now, I suspect that because also, not entirely, but you remember the things I read for you from the other man, Albert Pike, which he wrote, he said that we'll require another war to usher in the New World Order, the New World Luciferian Order. Now, you see, war is a means of, first of all, calming people's nerves down. Because there are certain people who cannot talk until they are fought, even human beings. There are people who will quarrel. The only way they are going to calm down is after they have punched each other properly. Then now they talk. But until they have punched, each one thinks they have the ability to win, so they are not going to talk, okay? Now, they require a good punch out for them. Now, that's what happens. Now, war is a good means by which to subdue people and get them round on a round table to talk. So that might be the scenario that ushers in the seven-year agreement, where they say, now we have to resolve all conflicts. What do we do with Israel and Palestine? What do we do with the city of Jerusalem? What do we do with the Temple Mount, which is very contentious right now? How do we divide these things and make sure that we sign an agreement and there will never be a need again for us to fight again? Okay? But of course, we know that the next war will be the war. That will not be the last one. The next one, it will be the last one for us if we are around. But the next one will definitely not be around, but will be the one where the whole world gathers together to go and fight to take control of the city of Jerusalem. That is what is called the Battle of Armageddon. Now, when that happens, then nuclear weapons, they might actually... Now, I don't know how 2.3 billion people are going to die without nuclear. It almost sounds difficult. How do you kill all those people? I mean, 2.3 billion people? The population of Africa is just over 1 billion. So that is Africa wiped away. And perhaps, actually Africa and Europe wiped away to make 2.3 billion. That's a lot of people. You understand what I'm saying? Eh? So how do you kill those without nuclear? And by the way, it is definitely going to happen. It is definitely going to happen. So there is no way it is not going to happen because it is written right here. If it does not happen, then God will have to get off the throne. And you understand? Eh? So it is going to happen. So I told you that what the devil wants is to make one prophecy not come to pass. Then he does not have to, he cannot be judged by God because then God is a liar like him. You understand? Eh? So if he can make God to say something and it doesn't happen, then he says, now you have no moral authority to judge me because also, you understand? Eh? So if it's in the Bible, it is going to happen. There are no two ways about it. It is going to happen. So how do you kill 2.3 billion people? Let's go to the book of Zechariah. Now we are learning how to kill people. Eh? Okay. But now here is what, because these ones, anyway. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 12. What does it say? It says, and this shall be the plague which the Lord will strike all the people who fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall dissolve while they stand on their feet. Their eyes shall dissolve in their sockets, and their tongues shall dissolve in their mouth. All that can be summarized as? Yeah. So now, does this happen at the Battle of Armageddon? Does it happen before? Because right now, the nations which is talking about, Pakistan, India, which are part of the coalition of China's and what, Iran, which is developing nuclear weapons and is soon going to become powerful, Pakistan, which is the fifth biggest nuclear power in the world, even bigger than Britain, India, nuclear power, of course, China, Russia, okay? So now what do you do with those countries when they are being attacked? And now, this is what Putin said. Now, the Chinese general said something which I found interesting. He said, if America dares come, like, okay, I'm paraphrasing, of course, he didn't use these words, and mess up with us, that this world war will even go to space. Can you imagine? Now, the Chinese are people who rarely speak, like, they don't speak braggadocio. Eh? They are very calm people who speak things when they mean them. Eh? So by the time a Chinese person says something, you imagine he has thought it through and is, now whereas other people would tend to say that when they don't actually mean it. Eh? So the guy says that this one will even go to space. Now it will be a real world war because the previous world wars actually were not world wars. They were Europe-America wars. Eh? But because everything those days which involved Europe and America was called world, okay? So we had world football World Cups, which had only Europe and America, and South America, actually. We had world summits, which had only Europe and America. So was World Wars Uganda involved? No. But this one's coming will be real world wars. Where the guys are saying, would even after we fought here, we'll even go to space. Can you imagine? Now, that's how 2.3 billion people are killed. Nuclear and everybody involved. You're either on this side or the other side. So there are 17 countries this side, as that man said, who are the Shanghai Corporation, whatever. Then NATO, of course, has all these countries on their side. But then something else is happening across Europe. There have been protests by Europeans against NATO, because they believe Obama made a big mistake by extending and actually kuyikirizaing Russia, because that's what he did. Because the agreement don't come too close to us. So he came close. And they did that on the basis of this calculation. Number one, Russia's economy is very weak. They cannot afford a war. And that was actually, but they didn't realize it was going, it was a bit resilient because there are things they did when the oil prices came very down that was supposed to finish Russia, and it almost did. Only Russia came back up, and now the oil prices are up. How did they come up back up? Russia carried its troops into Syria and cut off the free oil which they were stealing from the Syrians. So now oil had to go back to its original price. You see now those people fight wars to do what? They fight wars actually for economic reasons. They don't fight wars like they fight them in... Now, like in South Sudan, people fight for nothing. Now there, people fight to discuss. That's the difference between them, I think, and us. Because there, when people go to war, the purpose is not to see who is stronger. The purpose is for people to say, okay, now let's talk. Eh? Now, afterwards, they say, okay, now oil prices go up and what? So then Russia can continue surviving without... Anyhow, so that's a bit of what's happening in the world. And by the way, don't be surprised. It may or may not happen if these things start unfolding as quickly as January 2017. Because you go and go on YouTube and look at that video of Putin speaking to the journalists, and you see how he was telling them. He was very serious and saying the Americans are going too far and we are soon crossing the border. And then afterwards it will be war. Okay? It will be war. Now, I don't know if the Americans can afford war. Now, the other day, Hillary Clinton was saying she will put a no-fly zone over Syria. Now, that would be war. Because no-fly zone means the Americans say no Russian plane is going to fly here. Of course, they will fly, and they will be shot down. Then you see the embargo. You understand, eh? Now, Russia has actually put a no-fly zone. They warned any plane that passes here without our permission or without the official Syrian government's approval, which Syrian government is, of course, under the Russians, eh? Is going to be shot down. Now, that's escalating tensions. Eh? Make no mistake, we are going dangerously close to something. And now, something big is going to happen this very shortly, eh? Actually probably at the beginning of 2017. And now it is fast forward to the return of the Lord. Eh? Where is Rebecca? Where is she? You come. There's that dream you showed me about how what? Jesus came and people were busy cheating on cappuccinos. You give her a mic, eh? Where is the mic? Okay, Tell us. Okay.
I had a dream when... in the dream, I was standing and watching the whole world. But then there were... So have you ever seen rain when it's like raining there, but not yet raining here, but it's moving towards you? So that's what was happening. So I was seeing Jesus had landed on the earth, but in some countries. But then it's like when he landed, everything, like he was returning, in the process of returning. But it's like he was coming from country to country. So the other side of the world had seen Jesus come back. But where I was, here in like Uganda and like part of the world, people were doing their own thing. So I was thinking, oh my goodness, Jesus has come back and these people don't know. So I saw the watchman entering to have it was a Sunday morning radio show. So I thought, oh, so the Watchman radio show is now on Sundays, not Wednesdays. Okay. So I saw him enter the studio, and then I was like, oh, thank God, he's telling people about the return of the Lord. People should know because Jesus has actually already come back. But then that's not what was happening. It was a Sunday morning breakfast show. Call in, tell us what songs you want us to And I was thinking, what is the Watchman doing? Jesus is coming. And people are calling in, I want this song, send greeting. So yeah, that was it. So when I woke up and prayed about it, it was like the return of the Lord is much sooner than we think.
Amen. So now you see what the dream is telling us, that even us as a ministry, we don't understand how soon this thing is. Eh? You understand? Eh? Of course, I'm representing the ministry. So the truth is, it is so soon. Because when I look at the prophecies, how far we've gone down that road, I realize that in a time not so far from now, this is going to happen. Okay? So now, what do we do? Eh? Now, we are going to be more serious about what we are doing than we've been before. Praise the Lord. Say amen.
Amen.
Yeah, we are going to be more serious. Number one, I told you before that part of this was to train certain people who are going to be into ministry and other things as well. But now we are moving to something bigger where we are dealing with masses, and we are going to tell people the message that we are talking about. Amen. Because there are so many people now, even when I'm preaching here, there are things which I've spoken before, and there are people who know them, people who have been following the Watchman from the beginning, and then there are others who don't. You understand? So sometimes I'm caught in between. Do I have to repeat this? Do I presume everybody knows it? Are there people who are first-timers? So I have to say some things which to other people might sound, you're saying it the fifth time. To other people, it's like, wow. Now, we have to bring everybody down to understand that we are living in the last of the last days. Make no mistake. This is not, because somebody was saying, Sansa has been preaching end times since the 1980s. Okay, that's good. But actually, now we're actually living in the end times. The seven seals, I told you about the seals. The trumpets, I'll tell you about the trumpets. And I can tell you almost surely that five have already blown. That leaves two. And the seventh is going to be at the end of the 7 years. So somewhere in between, a rapture happens. Eh? And we are caught up. Now the thing is, even if we'll be caught up, even if I'm receiving songs and what, playing for people songs, I will be taken in the rapture. But the idea is, I should be telling people more emphatically, you understand, about these things. So we are going to get a bit more serious. Number one, all of you have to participate in our move by calling people and inviting people. Don't be aloof, okay? If you are aloof, you can invite your workmates, your friends, and other people. You can choose to be aloof, like so many people do, come and listen and go. But you see, we are building the kingdom. Eh? This is not for anybody's benefit. Do you understand what I'm saying? Eh? It's not for any person's benefit. And don't you think that it gives me any more pleasure to preach to many people as to, you understand? Eh? It's not for me, it's for them. Eh? It's for all of us to building the kingdom. Because there are people whom I see, even church people, who have absolutely no idea. No idea of the time we are, none whatsoever. And they are into other things, doing other things. What? Want to agala kuzimba, you know what? Okay, which is all good. But the point is, they don't understand the urgency. It's like having a student who exams are tomorrow and he doesn't know. Then he wakes up in the morning and they say, today is the exam. He says, are you sure? So now that's the scenario in which we find ourselves in. Because it's not the Lord's will that the exams land on you when you don't know, because even schools have the decency to tell people that the exams are this time. So at least you prepare. If you aren't ready, those are yours, but at least you are told. So now we have to tell, and the Lord is going to use us. So you are going to become vigilant. Now we have a social media team, which is led by Rebecca. Is it? Okay, at least, is it? Yeah. So you can join. The only thing you do is share out the messages. Okay? There are people here like Joseph there who does a lot of work to make sure that the people can download these things on previously Google Drive and I don't know now what. And there are actually thousands of people who could be, only that the previous means was whatever, who are interested from across the world. Now, Rebecca communicates with a guy from America who listens to the Watchman. The point is this. The message is of God. The message is needed. We just need to find a means to spread it to as many people. Now, it will touch some people. Some people will remain there. Some people just come here to find what to preach to other people. Some people have lost the ability to change their lives. That's theirs. But there are people now, like in universities, we're on 28th We are going to be in Makerere at the other hall. Eh? What's it called? What's it? Say that hall. Eh? Yeah. And on 5th, we are going to be at MOBS. Eh? 5th November, we are going to be at MOBS. Because the Lord told me that these university students, at the age where they can very easily be deceived, science has oversaid what, science what, and they get off the path of God and book themselves a one-way ticket to hell. Now, we have to warn them before it is too late. Because, you see, the New World Order targets institutions of higher learning, okay? And they make people think that it's a sign of intelligence when you deny the existence of God. That's a whole plan hatched in the New World Order thing. So they make it look that it's a sign of intelligence, it's a sign of prosperity, of well-being, of you know what, when that's why they say studies have proved that religion goes lower and lower, the higher you go up the economic ladder or the education ladder and all that rubbish. Eh? Now, the whole purpose is to get students at that level. And that's the age, 18, 19, that's when our lives were transformed. If they were not, we wouldn't be doing the things we are doing now. We'd probably be doing other things. So we have to capture those students at that age and take their direction. Take them in a direction. Now, you can be involved one way or another, or you might not be involved. But the point is, on the day of judgment, your reward. The Bible says, those who turn men into righteousness will shine like what? Like stars. Eh? So you aspire for that. Eh? You are born again, you're going to be in the rapture. Eh? Amen? But aspire to have as many people as possible. That's what the Lord wants you to do. Okay? You can be a prayer person. You can pray for this. You can do what. But the Lord wants all of us to be involved in making sure that as many people as possible are raptured. Praise the Lord. Amen? And those people who are involved in it have a reward. Because everybody, it's almost like people lying behind you who are there because of you. Eh? Praise the Lord. And of course, you don't have to be like the one preaching. Eh? God has his ways of doing things. You don't even have to be anywhere seen. Eh? You can be somewhere in the background doing certain things, and that's all that it takes. Eh? It doesn't take you being up front and being, you know, the person at the front. Praise the Lord. So now, so we are going to universities. Eh? Now from there, we are going to bombard all universities and make sure that those who do not listen to the word would have refused, but at least we would have spoken the word to them. Praise the Lord. And then we'll also, this message is also going to penetrate the church, because one of the most difficult places to penetrate has been the church. Okay? The church. But you see, God is trying to challenge people to certain things. Like I told you the other day, I was telling you, you see, people don't understand that God does things by getting one person. And pulling them ahead of the others so that one person pulls others. That's what he did with Abraham. Okay? He says, come, you'll be the father of all the people of faith. Okay? Then he tells Abraham, come, I'm not telling you anything. Just obey me. Obey me, obey me, obey me, obey me. Now, from there, everybody follows you. Then he gets the Jewish nation and says, now you're going to be a prototype for all what I'm doing in all the world. You understand? So now, even in these days, he gets one person. For instance, he can get one person and prosper him so much, and the purpose of that person's prosperity is to bring others and show them that it is possible for you to also prosper. Now, the trouble is the devil will come and make you start speaking ill of the other person, and then you're finished. You will never benefit from what God intended. God does not raise anybody for their own benefit. He always does it for the benefit of so many other people. You understand? Eh? Now, if you fail to realize that there's one person ahead whom I'm supposed to, you know, now, for instance, I was talking the other day about a certain fellowship, which its leader said they spend $54 million every week on a fellowship, $54 million. And everybody is angry. How can you spend what? And you don't understand, God is showing you what is within the realms of possibility for you. You only have to follow. How can you get angry when, do you understand what I'm saying? The purpose is to show you that it is possible. Now, let me tell you something. There was a time when the world had successfully pushed Barokore out of serious places. You go in Yobi Wempe, ooh, slowly. Ooh, slowly, 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 and then he pushes them away. So they don't mind as long as you are in some run-over places, you have to jump over Miala to get to where you're supposed to go. They don't mind you there. Now, the world is angry when you are in places which they cannot afford. Now, the problem is if also the Baroque get angry, and then you have missed what God is trying to do. He does that to benefit everybody. So now, if you are also a man of God, and you say, so that man can also do that. Since he serves the same God as I do, I can also do it. That is the spirit. You understand what I'm saying? Now, God is showing people that Baroque are moving away from Biwempe to places where even the secular people cannot manage. That is the, but you see, now I've communicated with pastors who are angry. How can you spend all that money over what? How can you do what? I mean, really? Challenge yourself. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Now, people who cannot be challenged are useless to the kingdom. They might as well die and go to heaven now. Praise the Lord. I told you before, there are places which they would not allow Barokore. When I dreamt that I'm supposed to have our conference at conference center, okay? Standing on the platform where they read the budget, give the state of the nation address, and God does those things well. Now, it was very clear. I went there, they told me officially we don't allow Barokore here. We don't allow Barokore here. Why? Because of the image they had of Barokore. The conference happened there. Now officially they allow Barokore there.
Amen.
Now me, we break ground. We go to new places. Amen? Amen. Now, you see God does things for a purpose. Eh? Everything is the purpose. So now, people who are not challenged miss out on the purpose of God because they refuse simple things. Look at somebody and say, how did he do that? Eh? Is he serving the same God as I am? If the answer is yes, then I can also do it.
Amen.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Because God is no respecter of what?
Persons.
So God lifts up somebody to show, give us an example. That's it. Give you an example. So you go and say, so this is possible. Eh? So somebody can actually do this. I'm also going to do it. You don't do it with a bad spirit. Eh? There is a difference. Eh? You do it with the spirit of my faith has been blown open. Now I know what God can do. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, that's the purpose. Now you see, but you see so many people. Now, do you know, man, somebody came to my office and said, man, guys, I'm at 54 million. Okay. Shillings. But it's because people have reduced God to a budget. Do you know what I'm saying? You've reduced God to a budget. I had some preacher saying that there is a whole planet which they discovered, which is what Mars, all made of diamonds. So now a piece of diamond like this costs millions. God has a whole planet of diamonds. And you reduce him to a budget? Are you kidding me? There is no budget with God. Do you understand what I'm saying? The only budget is your faith. You move from faith to faith to faith to faith. Praise the Lord. So today you believe God for 1 million. Tomorrow you believe for 10. The other day for 30. Do you understand what I'm saying? But does God's resources reduce?
No.
Even if you took how much is unbongable. Anyway, so the thing is, so now, but you see, now we as people have to blow up our minds. Eh? Now, especially people who are being groomed for ministry, don't think small. Think big. That's the purpose. Think big. Look and think and say, I can do this. This is God. The same God whom I serve. And think big. Think nice places. Think nice what? Eh? Yeah, nice places. Eh? So now maybe you come here one day and we even have some cappuccino there. so you can take a cup of coffee as you listen to End Time. Praise the Lord. There's somebody who came to our night prayers and found when we were and the person went and said, how much? How can we sell tea? So somebody actually said that, I didn't have money, so I didn't take. They said, what? You mean they serve tea for free? But you see how people have been reduced. Tea, or what is tea? It's just a boiler and hot water. And majani and coffee. But you see somebody, okay, and bread, and butter, okay, and sugar, and a cup, a disposable cup, okay, we wait the yogurt. Now, but you see, how can you reduce God to a point where, you see, small things, praise the Lord. Now I want us to think what? Everybody, even in your own lives, don't think small. You want a house? Think big. You want a car? You want a husband? Think big. Think what? Grand. Because if you fit into the pattern which had been set for us, where you're supposed to think at a certain level, how can you reduce yourself to that? Okay, it was possible to do that until God gave us an example. But when we have the example, I am not going to think small. Tell your neighbor, I'm not going to think small. Say it again, I'm not going to think small. Praise the Lord. Okay, now get your offering. Yeah, and also don't think small when you're giving. I want us to sing Days of Elijah, which is our anthem of the Watchman. So stand up and boogie a bit. These are happy days. Jesus is coming for us. Can you imagine we are going to go there and chill for eternity? And have cappuccino and for eternity. Praise the Lord. This is good news. Praise the Lord. So now we are going to sing Days of Elijah. Stand up. As soon as you have your offering in your hand, stand up. And dance with it in your hand. Dance with the offering. And say, Lord, say, repeat after me. Pass away. Get your offering and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I move to the next step of faith. Say, I will not be stagnant. I will not be kept at small things. Say, I will not limit myself or limit you, God, to a budget. Say, I think big. I walk big. I perform big. Everything about me is big. Amen.